Good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1. It's in the bulletin, and it should be on the screen. And I work next to a priest. This year, sitting next to me, he's a Jesuit father, and he is responsible for, he's a Filipino priest, and he's learning Japanese, and he has to do some masses in Nihongo. And he was telling me about this passage because he has to read this passage in Japanese, and it's all names, and they're all katakana. Yeah, and if you have ever studied Japanese, if you're a foreigner, you probably hate katakana as much as I do. You know, amen, somebody. So that's what we're doing today. We're preaching on all these names, but praise the Lord, I get to preach in English. And as I'm reading this, please understand, this is worship. This is the Word of God, and I'm happy to read this for you and with you. There is no obligation this time. Feel free to read it with me if you like, and if we have different pronunciations, it's okay. God knows what we're reading and should always be glorified. So let's worship by reading the Word of God together. Matthew chapter 1. Verses 1 through 17. Let's begin. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nashon. Nashon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Amon, the father of Josiah, and Josiah, the father of Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abihud. Abihud, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Akim. Akim, the father of Eliud. Eliud, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Mathan. Mathan, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, who was called the Messiah. Thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David. 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. The very words of God. Amen? Amen. You should give yourself a hand for being able to read all that. Well done, well done, good and faithful congregation. There is a missionary named John Sweeney. He was serving in Papua New Guinea, the southern island in Southeast Asia. And He tells the story of a group of Bible translators in the, I think it's the Sepik River Valley, a very large area in Papua New Guinea. And there are many dialects, many translations that were necessary. While he was working there, he was so happy to hear the natives of Papua New Guinea exclaim, "God speaks," or "God knows our language." And it was a wonderful, encouraging thing that they could say that God speaks our language. God knows our language. And as they're translating the Bible, one day one of the tribesmen went to another Bible translator, one of his missionary friends. And they had the Bible, the transcript of the Bible in front of them. And they said, "Is this true?" They asked him, "Is this true?" And he looked at it, and it was Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. And he said, "Yeah, it's true. And it's useful, but, you know, go ahead and just skip it. And you can read John. You know, we translated John first because of the stories. And you can read about that. And you can read about Romans, the book, because that's a good explanation of what we believe. And, you know, when you begin to understand more, you can go back to Matthew and start there." And they said, no. This is wonderful." And he said, "Really?" And I said, "You know, when you first came to us, you're telling us these stories about Jesus. We thought you're," and this is the translation that they used in English, or best translation in English, "we thought they were fairy legends, myths that you plucked from the sky. Just like our myths, our legends, maybe they're true, maybe they're not true. And that's what we thought Jesus was, just another myth or a legend. But since we read this, we know he was a real person. And we know where he comes from. He's not just a myth or a legend. He really lived." Right? The gospel is not good advice. It's good news. There's a difference between good advice and good news. You see, good advice explains and tells you what you must do, how you should live, what you need to do to have a better life. The gospel is not good advice, it's good news. Good news is not what you must do. Good news is what has been done, right? And you understand good news is a whole lot better than good advice. Why? If you are going to war, let's say a king is going to go to war, and there is a very important city, and what he does to the city that he wants to defend or protect, he's going to send a military advisor to give advice. An advisor comes to the city, and he has a meeting, and he says, "Okay, you have to get these supplies. You have to make this wall stronger. You have to use this part as a place to defend and put shooters here or guns there. You have to," right? Advice on how to defend the city. But let's switch it. Let's say that the king is not going to war, but the king has won the war. And the war is over. He has conquered the enemy. And he has won the fight. So the king does not go to the city to give advice, or the king does not send a military advisor. He sends a messenger. And the messenger says, good news. You don't have to do anything. It's already been done. The king has won. Your city is saved. That's good news. It's not good advice, right? So when you have good news, you don't send a military advisor, you send a messenger. Messenger in Latin is angel, which is comes from or influenced by the Greek, angelos. Angelos, messenger. That's Christmas. When Jesus was born, the heavens were opened and the angels, right? I don't know the song off the top of my head. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the praise. Right? The messengers, because why? Christmas is good news. Your salvation has come. Your salvation from death, hell, sin, the grave. Jesus, the Messiah. So, that's one thing here. When we read this genealogy of Jesus, you see, Matthew doesn't begin the New Testament and say, once upon a time, right? Mukashi, mukashi. A long time ago in a galaxy. It's not a fairy tale. If it was a fairy tale, once upon a time. No, no, no. This is the record of the genealogy of Jesus called the Messiah. It's not a fairy tale. This is history. This is reality. That is something we can find encouragement and faithfulness in. Because when you read this, you understand, ah, ha, 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 ha. God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Because you read this, and this is great. I don't have to make an outline because the outline is already here. If you look at verse 17, there's the outline. There were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to exile to Babylon, and 14 from exile to Messiah. There's your outline. Three sets of 14. 3 points. That's a perfect sermon right there, right? So that's what we're going to do. I could try, but we wouldn't leave until 2 o'clock tonight. I'm going to highlight some of these names because, you know, when you read the names, some of them are mysteries. If you're new to the Bible, these names are just, that's all, they're names. And so what I'm going to do is go back. We're going to start with the third point from exile to Messiah, the middle, and then the first. Okay, we'll go backwards. So there's three things. There's the first set, which is the characters, the first set from Abraham to David. And then there's the kings, the second set, from David through the exile. And then the last set are just the cosigners, characters, kings, and cosigners. That's just for me to remember them, okay? So let's begin with the cosigners, those names that are not names. I think it's from Jeconiah, right? Jeconiah after the exile of Babylon. Zerubbabel, Abiud, Eliakim, Azor, Zadok, Akim, Elihud. I have nothing to say about these people. I don't know them. Why? Because the Bible doesn't say anything much about them. Maybe a few things about Shealtiel and Zerubbabel. But for the most part, especially just when you come up to Joseph, just before Joseph, look, Jacob, Mathan, Eliezer, Eliud. This is the only place they come up. Isn't that encouraging? Right? No names are names. Because that shows us that it's not their faithfulness, but God's faithfulness. No one counted their names, but God counted them. You see, think of the most famous person you think you know of right now. Right now, the most famous person. One name and everybody knows it. Who will remember his name in 100 years? 200 years? 500 years? Who? Who will remember his name? Maybe one person. Maybe. But here, there was a time from the exile to Matthew. 400 years. No prophets, just silence. And God still knows their names. You know, we don't have the young Filipino guys here, but there's still some young people here. I don't know about you, but when I was younger, I always thought, okay, I'm going to make a name for myself. I'm going to do something, and maybe, you know, I'll be on TV, or maybe at least I'll be on YouTube, and people can see me there, or something. And it's nice we have Facebook now so that I can have some fame and some likes from around the world. And then I get to about 30, 35, and realize, it's not going to happen, Chris. You're not going to be famous. Nobody's going to care. And I thought, all right, so then what do? Nothing. You just be faithful. And you leave it to the Lord. But it goes even deeper than that. It goes even deeper. Because it says, when you go to the end of the book, Revelation, there's another book. It's called the Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life. And in that book, there are names. Names of those who belong to the Lamb. And he's going to open that book. And if you belong to the Lamb, your name is there. And it's not written in ink, not in black and white, but in blood. Amen. The blood of the Lamb. When God writes your name in his book of life, it is written with the blood of the Lamb who covers your sins, who has washed you with his blood, who has bought and purchased your life. That's why you can be in the book of life. God doesn't know anything about invisible ink or erasable ink or Shusei marker or erase. He doesn't have erasers. When God writes your name, listen, take encouragement from that. Because I know you think sometimes like I do, Lord, am I going to make it? Am I going to be like, okay, God, you brought me this far, but I don't know if I can take it to the very end. I go out these doors and I mess up right away. Here's the truth. If it's up to you, you're not going to make it. But praise God, it's not up to you. It's up to God. It's God is faithful, not you. God is. Jeremiah, Lamentations, chapter 3. Because of your great love, we are not finished off. We're not consumed. But your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. All right, fast forward. Go to Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6. Paul, for I'm convinced that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to bring it to completion until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not up to you, right? Therefore, you have a name if it's under the Lamb. Take encouragement. It's God's sovereignty, God's faithfulness. That's what we see in these cosigners. That's the lesson. Let's go back even further to the kings. Ah, the kings. Okay, now we're getting deeper. What's the encouragement from these names of the kings? Now, if you have your pen or if you're, you know, a serious student, if you have a paper Bible, do you have a paper? Does anybody here have a paper Bible out there? Oh, all right, great. Okay, then you have a pen. If you have a pencil handy, this will be useful for you. I have my notes here, cheat sheet. There's a whole list of kings there. What's the point of these kings? Two letters, E and R. E stands for evil, right? R stands for righteous. And what you can do is you can write E or R for all of these kings, because sometimes it says for a king, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like Rehoboam, that first one there, evil in the sight of the Lord. And so it's E. Or you can go to Abijah, his son, and it says that Abijah did what was right in the Lord. He was righteous. So there's E and there's R. So then there's Asa or Asa. He was righteous. He led a revival in his country. There was Jehoshaphat, his son. Jehoshaphat was righteous. Jehoshaphat means Yahweh is judge. And Jehoshaphat led reforms, legal reforms throughout. He was a leader. And he would send out teachers and preachers of the Bible throughout all the land. He was righteous. And then his son, Jehoram, was evil. And then his son, one of the great kings, Uzziah, was righteous. Uzziah, the name, means the Lord is strong. You know how long he was the king? 52 years. He was righteous. His son, Jotham, was righteous. And it says that Jotham walked steadfastly before the Lord all the days of his life. That's righteous. His son, Ahaz, evil. Ahaz was so bad, he would lead the country in idolatry, false idols, false gods, that he would take his own sons and sacrifice them to these gods. Evil, evil. And the Lord wanted to rescue Ahaz and gave him trouble in his life. But you know what Ahaz did? He got even worse. His heart became even harder. Here is God trying to call out, Ahaz, Ahaz, I'm sending this pain so that you can be rescued. And Ahaz just went even further from God. Then there was his son, Hezekiah, another great king. He was righteous. Hezekiah means the Lord is my strength. And then his son, Manasseh, Manasseh, hallelujah, Manasseh. He was evil. He was evil. Yeah. But no, I'm going to get back to him. Trust me, I'll get back to him. But he was evil. He had 50 plus years, 55 years. And Manasseh, his name means forgetful or forgets. God forgets. Here's what Manasseh did. He let people worship whoever they want. He let people do whatever they want. And the people of Judah and Israel, they forgot God for so long. And then there's his son, Ammon. Ammon also was evil. And then Ammon's son, Josiah, another great king, was righteous. Josiah became a king when he was about Chris's age, in his teens. And Josiah means God is my support, or the Lord supports. He had 31 years on the throne. The cool thing it said about Josiah is Josiah never turned to the right or to the left. He was right before God. Okay, so there's a whole list of kings there for you, evil and righteous. But what do we get out of that? Ah, man, so good. So good. You know, there was one king. He did what was right all the way up until the near end. And because God had blessed him and God was good to him, his heart began to think, I earned this. I did this. And he had pride in his heart. And God said, oh, no, we're not going to have that. And God struck him. Not bad, but just enough. And what happened was, although he was good all his life, at the end, he dropped the ball. And then there was another king. He was Manasseh. Manasseh, 50 plus years of being evil. You know what happened? Babylon comes, destroys his city, and takes Manasseh back to Babylon. They take out his eyes, and they put him in prison. And in prison, in chains, he repents. He says, God, have mercy on me. And he says, if you will have mercy on me, I will serve you. And then you know what it says? It says God had mercy on him and gave him grace, favor. And the king of Babylon picked him up, put on new clothes, let him sit at his table until the end of his life. 50 years of doing evil. But that wasn't too long for God to rescue a man. That's amazing right there. My mom turned 50 this year. I baptized her here a few months ago. Right after I baptized my stepfather, he turns 50 next year. Don't let him know that I told you that, okay? But it doesn't matter how long. It does not matter how long. God is so, this is good news. This is grace. This is the gospel. You don't have, it doesn't matter how long or how bad or how black you've been. God is faithful. And if he's going to come and get you, he's going to come and rescue you. If all you need to do is repent, turn from your sin, say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Mon Dieu. What is it? Mon Dieu. Help me. Yes. Aidez-moi. 50 years, Manasseh. Wow. That's gospel grace. But it gets even better. Let's go back further than the kings. Let's go to the characters. I didn't mention David and Solomon because they're special. Everybody knows about them. Most people don't know about the last set of names. Some people know about the middle set of names, the kings. You pretty much know most of those from Abraham to David and Solomon. But let me give you a few details. So David, the great king. Solomon, his great son. What is Matthew trying to accomplish by saying these things? Well, so many things. Jesus was the Messiah coming down, descended from Abraham through David the king. And so now Jesus is qualified to be the king, the Messiah, because God promised Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, 15, 22, from you I will bless all the world. Those who bless you, I'll bless. Those who curse you, I'm going to curse. But I'm going to bless your seed, Abraham. Not seeds, your seed, one. So the whole world is going to be blessed through your seed. And so it goes all the way down to King David. And God promised King David, King David, I'm going to set your son on the throne forever. And so Matthew is going to show that's the qualification that Jesus has. And so that's why we see here at the very end, verse 16, Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the King, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior. Now it gets really good. So, a genealogy is not just a record. A genealogy is a resume. A resume that shows your qualifications. When you apply for a job, you give your didecho, your history, your CV, and it says, because of this list, I am qualified to take this job, right? And that's what a genealogy is. Even now, back then and even now, when you have arranged marriages in certain cultures, what do? They have to have a resume. And then the parents check this resume. So now, do you put your, like, let's say you went to school and you failed that school. You go to another school and you pass that school. On your resume, do you put the failed school on there? No. It's common sense, right? Here's where I messed up. Here's what I'm not good at. Here is my, you don't put that on your resume, right? No, because the boss says, okay, no, thank you. Look at this resume. You know the stories, right? And just in case you're not sure, Matthew, who wrote this, goes out of his way to make sure you understand. Jesus is qualified, but not like how you think he's qualified. He's the Messiah. And by the way, all of us are looking for a Messiah. Every single one of us needs something. Some of us, the Messiah is a relationship. This relationship is going to save me. This relationship is going to give my life meaning. This relationship will give me hope and a new birth. And let's say you do get this relationship. Some of us have. And that person is not who you thought they were going to be. Amen, somebody. Some of us, our Messiah is a new situation. Not a relationship. You know, I'm going to get out of this situation. I'm going to go here. God, if you would just change this situation and make this happen, life will be good for me. That's your Messiah. It's not God. It's this position. It's this situation, this circumstance. And then for some of us, you actually get that change. You actually get what you want. And what happens? You mess that situation up just as bad as you mess this situation up. Sometimes you want to relocate to get away from that. And what happens? The internet. The internet happens and you can't run from anybody. We all want messiahs. And we all have these things, but why is Jesus qualified? Why is Jesus qualified to be your Messiah? If you look at this resume, it doesn't show how perfect everyone is. Matthew shows it. David? Solomon. You know how Solomon came about? Through the wife of Uriah. You know who the wife of Uriah is? She had a name. Bathsheba. Why doesn't Matthew just write that name? Because Matthew wants you to, if you don't know the story, he wants you to go back and look it up. David took one of his best friends, committed adultery with one of his best friend's wife, and in order to cover that up, ended up killing one of his best friends, Uriah. That Uriah. So David is an adulterer and a murderer. Okay, he's a liar too. Oh, he stole somebody's wife. That David? It gets even worse. So you go back, and before David, there's a woman named Ruth. Ruth? Ruth, she's a Moabite. She's not even Jewish. Oh, she's a woman. You know King Herod, great King Herod? He did a lot of things. There was a lot of names he didn't put in his genealogy. If you read Herod's genealogy in the ancient text, he left off a bunch of names so that, you know, you could see, oh, yeah, his pedigree, it's perfect. King Jesus, he has a woman, a non-Jewish woman, Ruth. Ah, it gets even worse. Go back, there's another woman, Rahab. She's from Jericho, a Canaanite, not Jewish, but not only is she not Jewish, she's one of those women. High heels, low cut, the hair, you know, one of those women. I'm going to keep it PG because my boys are here. Right? Yeah. This is in Jesus' history. Jesus says, I'm going to be your Messiah. Here's a murderer, an adulterer. Here's a Gentile. Here's a prostitute. Why is he doing this? It gets even worse. You go back before Ruth, go back before Rahab, you get this one woman, Tamar. And it's interesting, It shows her two sons. Jesus only had to come through one son. Why does Matthew go out of his way to talk about two sons? Genesis 38, if you haven't read it, then it gets really ugly. I mean, dirty. This is out of incest. Tamar was the daughter-in-law of Judah. The daughter-in-law. She has an incestuous relationship with her father-in-law in order to, and what happens? Twins. Hello. This is God's history. Amazing, because when you're gonna read the first book of the New Testament, it actually gives you the whole history of the Old Testament right there in 17 verses. And what's the history? The gospel. Grace. How is this the gospel? You see where I'm going? God took all these people, and he says, I'm not running from them. I'm not running from them. I'm not going to hide it. If you met me, if this is our first time to meet, and I say, hey, nice to meet you, my name's Chris, and I give you my phone, I say, open up the browser, the internet. This is my history on the internet. You can look at all the sites. Look how righteous I am. Here's all the Christian blogs and all the things I download, and they're so good. And I also have a sense of humor. Look at the humor sites and look at the videos I watch on YouTube. They're all good. And look at my Facebook likes. But then I'm not going to show you. Well, I've deleted some things. Got a little bit uncomfortable there, and I'm not going to look at some of you for too long, because you know what I'm talking about, right? There's a button you can say, clear history, because I don't want you to see some of the things that's going to make me look bad. I'm going to run and hide from my shame. God does not do that. This is God's history. He did not delete his browser. He left the cookies in there. And he says, you know what? Murderer, adulterer, liar, thief, incest, outsider, woman, gaijin. I'm going to be one of you. I'm going to take your murder. I'm going to take your adultery. I'm going to take your lie. I'm going to take your sin. And I'm going to be that. So that I could be your Messiah. What does the world want? The world wants money, power, fame. Don't believe me? Look who America just chose for the president. I didn't vote for him. Look at who America chose before that. Look who America chose before that. Money, power, wealth, fame. That's what the world wants. Jesus flips it upside down. Weakness, brokenness, guilt, shame, scandal, humiliation. I'll take all of that. Because when I take that, I can now save you from that. Thank you, Jesus. That's good news. That's good news. That will save me. There's no shame. If we walk in darkness, we make him a liar, and the truth is not in us. But if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And we will have fellowship with him. That's God's browser history. That's the gospel. And so what do? You just take it. You just accept it and you receive it by faith. By faith. And you say, God, I repent of my sin. You take this browser and you take it, Lord God. And Jesus says, I'll take it on the cross. I'll take what you deserve, the shame and humiliation. I'll take it for you. Thank you, Lord. And so that's what he did. And I'm so glad we're taking communion today. What a great day to take communion. Where I can say, Lord, here I am again. Again, Lord. And so I want you, look, let Jesus cleanse you again. Let him take your sin and let, see, the good thing is, here's the good news. Because here's many of our problems is, we don't want to come to church when we've been doing bad things. There's a curse that God says. There's a curse that takes you away from me. There's a curse of sin. There's a curse of uncleanliness. We feel that curse the moment we lie to our spouse, our kids. And then that curse makes a separation. And then it says in Galatians, Jesus became a curse for us so that we can be the blessing of God. Did you give your curse to Jesus? Do you believe he took it for you? If so, let today be the day you take Jesus back. So our communion time, and let's transition into that. This is Jesus being God, becoming a man. We read it every communion Sunday. Let it be fresh to you. And as you come, give Jesus your browser history. And let him give you his body broken and his blood shed. So let's meditate on it and let's read together from Philippians chapter 2. Let's read. Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God,